Hey friends, cold open because I'm an idiot. So you're gonna hear me in this episode say visine a couple of times. However, I most definitely did not mean to say visine, and I definitely meant to say Vyvanse, which is actually the name of the medicine I was talking about. However, Kate did not tell me I was saying it incorrectly. She did not call me out and be like, oh, he was taking eye drops. So I fully blame Kate for this. Don't tell her I put that in there. Okay, enjoy the rest of the episode. Bye!
Welcome back, murder friends, to
Under the Influence of True Crime.
That's Em, and they're telling the story.
That's Kate, and she's under the influence.
And we're ready to rock and roll.
I'm ready. Anyway, thank you so much for letting us take a week off last week.
Not that we gave you much of an option.
We didn't give you much of a choice, however, I was dying actively.
True.
And it was rough.
It was, and we had a COVID scare, and rather than risk it, we took all the necessary precautions. I mean, as yeah. I like to say, I have elderly parents.
I didn't have COVID, luckily. I was just
extremely
sick. So, anyway, welcome back. I'm happy that we're back.
True.
And since we were gone for so long, I have some business. Well, first of all, I have a correction.
Oh.
Not really a correction. One of my girls at work wanted to listen to the pod, and so I was showing her.
That reminds me of one of the girls at my work. Thank you so much, Saray, for constantly tuning in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
At work. I tell Em about it all the time, and I never remember to mention it on the pod. Thank you. Please, proceed.
So not so much a correction, just, like, I wanted to clarify. That's the word I was looking for. Not so much correction. I just wanted to clarify because one of my girls at work wanted to listen, and so I was showing her the Hart family. And at the part where I was talking about how Jen made them all go and lay down on the bed after the pizza incident, do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I said that she made them wear a face mask.
Yeah.
It was an eye mask, like, that you sleep in.
I assumed that was what
did you
meant.
Assume that? Because I did. After I heard myself talk about it, I was picturing, like, a face mask, like a COVID face mask.
Oh, no. I mean, this is 2016. I assumed you meant eye mask.
Right. Okay. I didn't know if anyone else assumed that. It was my story. I knew what I was talking about, and I was like, Em, what are you talking about?
You said face mask.
Anyway, that was my little clarification. However, news. We do have some business, some news to take care of.
It's also news to me. I'm excited.
It's not news to you.
I don't know what you're going to talk about is what I meant.
Right. Okay. The cop who killed George Floyd, who I refuse to say his name on the air, was sentenced to 22 and a half years with a minimum of 15 served before being eligible for release. Was it enough time?
No.
Am I going to take it as a win? Yes.
You have to.
That's the only way to deal with this. Anyway, the other news, which I don't know if you knew about this. This was a couple weeks ago, but I just now remember to talk about it. Lori Vallow, the Doomsday Mom.
No, I know exactly who that is, yeah.
She has been charged with conspiracy to commit murder in the 2019 shooting of her ex-husband, Charles.
Good.
Right?
Okay.
So she was charged with conspiracy to commit murder, and then she was charged for the murder of her two children, 16-year-old Taylor. Is it Taylor? Tylee?
Tylee.
16-year-old Tylee and 7-year-old JJ. Her husband, Chad Daybell, has also been charged with the murders, and he has been charged with first-degree murder and insurance fraud for the death of his first wife, Tammy.
Thank God. Tammy was not sick. She was healthy as hell.
No, she wasn't. She was fine.
So I'm...
It was insurance fraud and murder.
You got me fucked up,
Chad. So they're all being charged, which I appreciate.
Good.
And then I was going to talk about it, but it turned out to not be anything really. The host of To Catch a Predator got arrested.
For being a predator.
No, actually, because that's why I was like, I saw the headline and I was like, oh shit, we're going to have so much business. No, it was because he didn't appear in court for something. I don't even know.
Boring.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, that was my business for today. Do you have anything?
Oh, actually, yes, we did have some
Okay.
news. We wanted to thank Anchor for giving us the
Yes.
opportunity to talk to them this week. We can't discuss a lot because it's pretty secret, hush hush.
Yes, but big things are happening. Big things are coming. That's all we
Yeah.
can really say. But thank you so much to Anchor, which, as you all know, sponsor our podcast. That's who we distribute our podcast from. Gave us a really cool opportunity to be able to chat with one of their team members.
Yeah, about different things on Anchor and different developments that could or could not be happening. It's just a lot of tech stuff right now.
Yeah, but it's very exciting. I guess mostly for us, but it is exciting for you guys because our sound quality is about to be
Yes.
through the fucking
That
roof.
was what the end of my point was going to be
Yeah.
basically was just they did give us the opportunity to interview or feedback with them, I guess, and they compensated us for our time. And because of that, we are coming to you on a new microphone
I'm
tonight.
so excited.
You can't see it, but we're very excited, and we upgraded a few other things,
Yeah,
so
so
we're
we're gonna
just
have
pumped up.
hopefully some
Crisp.
really crisp sounds. Hopefully no more microphone issues. Thank you guys so much for like standing through with all of that.
But not too crisp.
I'll let you know how the difference is.
Thanks.
So hopefully for you guys anyway, we won't have any more of the issues that we were having. And our sound quality will be better. This should be the last one where it might be a little iffy. But
Or maybe
yeah,
not. We're not gonna lie to you.
maybe
Technology
not.
befuddles us.
We have no idea what the fuck we're doing.
No, we just make a stand of books and hope for the best.
Truly.
We really do be DIY in this
We're
bitch.
just sitting on the floor chilling right now. It's fine. We're very professional on this pod.
Very professional. You know how professional we are?
How?
We forgot to turn off the fan and put up the felt.
I don't even care.
I don't either.
Anyway, so now that we were just bragging about our sound quality, it might be bad because I will not be standing up to turn off the fan.
Because we have zero professionalism. So sorry, everyone.
Okay. Anyway, are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, I sure am.
Do we have anything else?
No.
All right. So since I feel like we got a nice break from the trauma, all those terrible heavy episodes, and then you had a really good episode, and then we took a week off. So here we
He
go.
said this was fine.
So we are doing a disappearance story, which you guys know I love. I love a good disappearing story because it makes no sense to my brain how someone can just be here and the next second just be gone with no clues as to where they possibly could have been. This is the disappearance of Bryce Laspisa. Did I say that right? Laspisa? Trigger warning for this episode is we are going to discuss some drug and alcohol abuse, mental health. We will talk about a car wreck. There will be mention of suicide. And just so everyone knows ahead of time, so you're not disappointed, this case is unsolved.
Hashtag cold as ice.
Honestly, truly. Okay, so Bryce David Laspisa was born on April 30th, 1994, to parents Mike and Karen. He was an only child. He was born and raised in Naperville, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. So after he graduated from Naperville Central High School in 2012, the family moved to Laguna Niguel, California. And I know it's said in a lot of victim stories, but Bryce really did light up a room. He was really funny, smart, charismatic, creative. He had the most contagious smile, and he had bright ass red hair and really pretty green eyes. Like, you
It sounds
knew
like
it
an
was
absolute
him.
cutie.
He was really cute. I'm gonna show you a picture of him really quick. You would know it was him if you saw him.
Okay, I see you.
Like, he's has very distinctive traits. Which obviously we'll post lots of pictures of him on our Facebook and on our Instagram. And then he also had a really big zodiac tattoo. He was a Libra, is that right? No, it's not a Libra. Aquarius?
When was he born?
April 30th. Taurus. Not even close. So he had a big tattoo of his zodiac sign. And then I heard in a couple different sources that he also had his parents' initials tattooed on him. Like, that's how close his family was. Bryce began studying graphic and industrial design at Sierra College in Rocklin, California, which was about a little over 450 miles from his parents home, which was a 6.5 to 7 hour drive.
Okay.
Bryce's freshman year went really well. He made lots of friends, and he began dating a woman who has the best name. Her name was Kim Sly.
Oh.
I love it.
At first I was like, why did you say a woman like that? And I was like, there's gotta be. And then you're like, her name.
Her name is Kim Sly. And I think that's fun. So Bryce and Kim started dating. Even though he was only a freshman, he had a really great reputation around campus and with all of his professors because of the incredible work he did and how well he did at school. He, you know, did what most college kids do. He hung out with friends. He was making a lot of trips home to see his parents. He seemed to be doing pretty well. He did party a bit, but nothing out of the ordinary for a college student.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't go to college.
I mean, I was a pretty lame college student, and I definitely went to a handful of parties.
Yeah.
So.
Nothing out of the ordinary at this point.
It feels pretty standard for college.
The summer after his freshman year, he went back home to stay with his parents for the summer.
Relatable.
Like, again, very normal things that most college kids are doing.
Mm-hmm.
He told them about Kim Sly and how much...
Are you going to call her Kim Sly every time you say her name? Yeah.
You try to not call her Kim Sly. That's the coolest name ever.
Okay.
So, anyway, he told his parents about Kim and how much he loved her, how much he loved school. And his parents say that he seemed really happy. And that summer, he was taking English classes at the local college to get some extra credits in.
Okay.
So he was really out there doing the damn thing.
Yeah, no kidding. I was like, I didn't. No, I did. I guess I did summer school for most of mine. But
right.
Fuck, you hate it the whole time you're doing it.
Yeah, and he seemed to, like, really be enjoying himself.
Good for you, Bryce.
So 2 weeks before his sophomore year started, he returned to college, and he got an apartment with his friend named Sean. But pretty quickly, friends and his girlfriend, and especially Sean, began noticing that Bryce was acting different.
Do you know who Sean White is? Like, the snowboarder? Yeah. Did you know that he is currently in a romantic and sexual relationship with Nina Dobrev from The Vampire Diaries?
That sounds fake.
It's not, and I've seen the pictures of them actually making out. Like, I follow her on the Insta. Like, she posted it. I was like, oh, he looks like Carrot Top. And then he said his roommate was named Sean. And I was like, he looks like Sean White. And I was like, oh, he looks like a redhead. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just had that fact for you about Sean White that I needed you to know.
Did you know that Sierra from Alex and Sierra and Luke from 5 Seconds of Summer engaged?
You were telling me that the other day, and it doesn't sit right with me.
I agree. However, good for Luke. Damn. Did you know that Drake Bell is married with a kid?
Married to who?
I have no idea. Because, you know, he's, like, on trial right now for, like, being a predator, which upsets me to no end. And then he was like, I'm not a predator. I have a child. And I'm like, look at Dennis fucking Rader.
And you're like, that doesn't mean anything, bitch.
Literally. Friends and his girlfriend, but especially Sean, began noticing that Bryce was acting really different. He began giving away his belongings, like some diamond earrings that I think his mom had given him, and his Xbox he gave away.
Nope, we don't like that. That's not good stuff.
Not a good sign. He also began drinking really heavily, like hard liquor all day long. Like, absolutely not like him in the slightest. When friends would, like, ask him about it or question him about it, he just said that everything was fine and that nothing was going on. August 26, 2013, Bryce began classes, and that day he had attended a web design class and a speech class. He called his mom, Karen, after class to tell her about it. Karen said that the conversation seemed really normal, nothing out of the ordinary, and nothing struck her as odd or concerning. But that night, Sean, his roommate, called Karen to tell her
that he was really worried about Bryce. He was drinking a lot and not sleeping, and his entire personality seemed to change in those 2 weeks from him coming home from summer. And
yeah,
just in 2 weeks, like, that's not a lot of time. That's a
very odd amount of time.
Like, to completely have, like, a personality shift. 180,
yeah. Yeah.
Karen didn't really seem to have a reaction to this or to really seem concerned because, like, she had just seen him 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. you know, and he was totally fine. Exactly. The next day, August 27th, Bryce texted Ken Sly that she would just be better off without him. She asked if he was breaking up with her, and he said yes.
No.
Which, like, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, he was telling his parents how in love with her he was.
Yeah, no kidding. So for him to be like, byesies.
Over text. Mm-mm. Like, Kim told Bryce that they needed to talk in person. So Bryce went to her apartment in Chico, California, which is about 90 miles away from his apartment. And Kim immediately knew something was wrong. Bryce admitted that not only had he been drinking a lot, he had also been taking the drug Visine, which is used to treat ADHD, but every resource I saw did not ever mention Bryce having ADHD.
Okay.
I looked at it, like, it's basically Adderall, like, times a million. Like, well, it's...
I mean, college kids are known to take Adderall during, like, finals, right, or, like, studying weeks and stuff like that, so him having an off-brand of Adderall isn't...
Right, and,
the,
like,
craziest.
I've read in a couple places that, like, this specific one is becoming, like, really popular, like, to be sold around college campuses, mm-hmm. because it is such stronger. A strong yeah. one. Yeah.
Shit.
So, Visine, if used incorrectly, has the same effects on people as methamphetamine. It's insanely addicting. And one of the side effects is that it makes you not sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Super fun. And so, he was doing this while also drinking hard liquor all day, every day.
Yeah, those things feel like they don't mix.
Yeah.
And like, so, I don't, like, work here, but...
There's no specific warning on the medicine that says you can't drink, but, like, it's pretty... like, you don't...
Okay, but, like, listen. Even if your medicine is like, yeah, you can have, like, drinks with this, like, it's not a big... That doesn't fucking mean binge drinking hard liquor 100% of the day. Like, that doesn't...
Right.
No amount of medication is going to take that kind of abuse into account.
Well, and it's not just that it doesn't have any warnings against drinking. There has been no research to see what the effects of this medicine is while you're drinking. Like, there's nothing.
Well, that's because, like, it, even if it did, they would do, like, a glass or two of, like, wine or beer or something. Right, they're, like, not going to be like, hey, take 16 shots and, like, this kid, like, Bryce is not drinking lightly.
No.
He's not drinking with friends. Like, he's drinking because he's got something going wrong.
Yeah.
Like, there's a problem.
Like, he is staying up all day, every day drinking. Like, so, like, staying up at night just to
even
drink.
Even if the medication was like, yeah, alcohol's not a bad mix with this, like, the quantity is, it right. overrides that
and
completely.
The fact that he doesn't need the medicine, like, it's not a prescribed True. Medication. Like, he's just taking
No,
it.
He doesn't have any of the, like, system that needs that medication
exactly.
to inhibit or, I know.
Yeah. So... Kim Sly took Bryce's car keys and refused to let him leave, which, like, I understand.
Kim Sly, you're onto something here.
And then Kim actually called Karen, Bryce's mother.
I know that we're not going to be mean, but she handles everything wrong in this. I'm so sorry.
That's actually right there in my research. Well, yeah, I have a whole thing about this.
I don't remember the story super well, but I just remember being like,
it's
Karen,
mishandled.
Honey, why?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot.
Kim did her damnedest to keep yeah. this situation under control, and Karen was like, no.
There's multiple parts in this where you're just like, why aren't you just going to
why
get your child?
Why are you not intervening as a parent at this point?
Like,
I know.
So many people, like,
Kim, I know we're not supposed to, like, blame her or whatever.
Right, no,
like,
we're not trying to victim blame in the slightest. We're just saying it could have been handled differently. And every single podcast, every single paper, everything that I read about this, pretty much everyone is agreeing with me.
Yeah, and it's, because it's such cut and dry, you're like, well, shit.
Yeah, like, it's not necessarily Karen's fault, and I'm not saying that, like, I'm not saying it is at all. I'm just saying there were so many things that could have been done differently.
So many alternative steps.
Yes.
And time did not seem to be of the essence to these people.
Because, like, we'll get into it. This goes on for a minute. Like, this goes on for a while. There are so many opportunities for someone to help him.
Yeah, to
intervene. So many times someone could have helped him, and he would still be here.
Potentially. I mean, we don't know that for sure. I mean,
potentially, but nothing, no one did
anything.
The night
would have gone differently.
No, I have such a hard time believing that we would not, that we would have the same outcome if someone would have done something.
Yeah.
We'll get into it, everybody. Sorry. We're just, like, having this whole conversation. You guys don't even know what happened yet. So Kim calls Karen, which is now the second time someone has called her to say, hey, I'm worried about Bryce.
Second time Kim has, hasn't she?
Sean called the first time, the roommate, and now Kim's calling. Kim tells her that she's extremely worried about Bryce and didn't want him to drive in his condition. She wanted him to stay and sleep before driving because he hadn't been sleeping and he'd been drinking, whatever. And Karen asked to speak with Bryce, who told her that he just wanted to go home and that Kim was holding his keys because they had broken up.
No.
And
that's manipulation.
Karen told Kim to let Bryce have his keys back.
Karen, honey, you're not there. You can't read the situation the way that Kim is.
Kim is standing in front of him saying he cannot drive in this condition.
Like, she's not saying it in a way that sounds like she's playing the victim and being like, I'm hurt, blah, blah. Right. Like, she's obviously only concerned about making sure he's safe.
Right, because regardless of if they've just broke up or not, she's still been dating him for over a year and she obviously loves and cares about him.
Yeah.
Like, Kim did everything right.
We salute you, Kim Sly.
We salute you on everything you've done, and we also salute you on your name.
That's a twofer.
So Bryce left Kim's apartment around 11:30 that night, and assumed to have been driving back to his apartment, which is 90 miles away.
Right.
And so he left at 11:30 p.m. The next day, around, like, pretty early in the morning, Bryce's parents got an automated message from roadside assistance that they had been called for one of their vehicles because Bryce had a Toyota that his parents owned and that he was using.
Mm-hmm.
They were unable to get a hold of Bryce, so they contacted Sean, who told them that Bryce had not come home that night.
Weird. It's like there might have been a problem and you shouldn't have just gone to bed.
Yeah, like, not only did you let Bryce drive, you then didn't stay up to make sure he got to where he was trying to go to. He should not have been driving.
Correct.
So his parents were actually able to get the name of the auto repair shop who had been called. And the shop was 350 miles south of Kim's apartment in the town of Button Willow.
What the fuck?
So he was not going to his apartment. Button Willow is 179 miles from his parents' home, which is a 3.5-hour drive. So presumably he's trying to get to his parents' house.
Okay.
But this is now 9 a.m. and he left Kim's house at 11:30.
Yeah.
For him to get, I mean, essentially to drive 4 hours at most.
Yeah.
Parents called the auto repair shop and spoke to a man named Christian who says Bryce had called him at 9 a.m. and was out of gas. So Christian brought Bryce 3 gallons of gas and then left. And I didn't see this. I didn't want to add this in. I'm just going to, it's just this thing. I heard Morpa talk about it, but I wasn't able to find it in any of my research. I just wanted to, just in case, I don't know. She always has more information than I do. Elena had said that Christian went to where Bryce was, saw the car, but couldn't find Bryce anywhere. So he left. And then Bryce called back and was like, hey, I still need that gas.
I did see that.
So Christian came back and gave him the gas and he was there. And he was like, oh, sorry, I was sleeping. But like the first time he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So like, I didn't see that in the research, but Elena had said it. I fully trust Elena. So Christian had brought Bryce the 3 gallons of gas and left. But hearing how worried Mike and Karen were over the phone, he offered to drive back to the spot where he had given Bryce the gas just to make sure that he had been able to drive off okay and to make sure he wasn't still there.
Not worried enough to get in their cars.
So this is 11:30 a.m., 12 hours since he had left Kim's house.
Yeah.
When Christian
and no one has gotten in a car to go get this kid.
And no one, he's 3 hours away and no one's going to get him. Christian got there. When Christian got there, however, Bryce and the car were still there. He called Karen and Bryce told her that he was fine. Karen said, you know, go get some gas and then just come home. Just come to our house. And they expected him.
Let's once again leave this boy unsupervised.
Yeah, he's fine to drive. He's fine. He's just been sitting in the same spot for 12 hours, but he's fine. They expected him to be home around 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, hey, stay there. You're comfortable there. We'll come grab you. We'll be there in 3 hours. Or even, hey, let's meet in the middle. Something. No, they just sat at home and tried to get Bryce. He obviously isn't okay. Why are you not going to get him?
I don't understand this.
Obviously, you are more capable of driving right now to go get your son. If I don't even have a child. If my niece or if any of my friend's kids or anything was supposed to be home hours and hours and hours ago and they are sitting on the side of the road for hours and they were only 3 hours from me and they've been sitting on the side of the road for hours, nothing is getting in the way of me getting in my car and going to get them.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
Okay, so by the time 3:30 rolled around, Bryce wasn't home and wasn't answering his phone. So Mike decided to call the Orange County Sheriff's Department and file a missing persons report around 6 p.m. They waited 2.5 hours after Bryce was supposed to be there to finally call and file a missing persons report. So it's now 6 p.m. Bryce had left Kim's house at 11:30 p.m. the day before.
Yeah, to travel 7 hours.
The police were able to get an emergency ping request from AT&T to get Bryce's cell phone location. And they were able to ping it and find him. And Bryce was only 8 miles away from where Christian had given him gas. In 7 hours, he had driven 8 miles.
Bro.
In 7 hours.
He's not okay.
He's not okay. Why is no one going to get him? This case makes me so angry. Because, you could have just went and gotten him.
I agree.
This could have been over by now. And instead, you could have been there and back 3 times now.
Truly.
Okay.
And if you guys are this worried, why are you not going out there?
If you're worried enough to call and bother Christian this many times, worried enough to file a missing persons report, why are you not worried enough
to get in your car
and fucking go there? Okay.
This has turned into a slam dunk.
So police say Bryce seemed totally okay, was in really good spirits, was talkative and alert, didn't seem surprised to see them, wasn't rude, was very respectful, very talkative, very this is what's going on.
Why did it take you 7 hours to drive 8 miles?
He told the cops that he was just blowing off steam. But blowing off what steam? And why is it taking almost 24 hours at this point? Bryce passed a field sobriety test, and he allowed the officers to search through his car, and they didn't find anything concerning. There was no drugs, there was no alcohol, there was no weapons.
Okay.
Police told him to call his mom, but he didn't want to. He was like, no, thank you.
He said, I'm an adult and you can't make me.
Truly, he's 19. There's nothing they can make him do.
Yeah.
So the police actually took his phone, dialed the number, and here you go. Here's the phone. Talk to your mom. She told him that he needed to just get food and come home, and he agreed. The officers told Karen that they felt like he was completely fine to drive. And he wasn't doing anything illegal, so it's not like they could take him in, you know.
You should.
It's not illegal for a 19-year-old to sit in his car for 24 hours, you know? The time is now past 6 o'clock. 3 hours later, when Bryce should have been home, he wasn't.
Again.
And at this point, you could have been there. You could have been there. You knew exactly where he was.
You could have had the police hold him there.
You could have just asked the police to stay there with him. They didn't need to take him in. Just hang out with him. I'm on my way. I don't understand. So his parents again called the auto repair shop, and Christian once again offered to drive to check on him. So Christian drove to where the police had found him 8 miles away, and he was still in the same spot where the police were. At this point, he had been in Buttonwillow for over 13 hours.
What the fuck, Bryce?
So, Christian called Karen, was like, he's fine, he's still here. And then Christian was like, we can't keep doing this, you've got to get on the road. So Christian actually drove behind Bryce to make sure that he got onto the interstate, that he got out of town and got on the interstate. Christian followed him for about 10 miles, didn't notice anything concerning, didn't think he was, like, driving weird. He seemed okay. And also, he's a mechanic. So after 10 miles, he turned around and went home, assuming, like, Bryce is on the interstate. This is all I can do at this point. Which, like, Christian is a fucking angel. He's done above and beyond,
yeah.
He is an angel.
He's already done more than either of Bryce's parents have done.
Literally. He has done way more than...
Why do you keep calling this mechanic? Get the fuck out of your house and go get your kid.
It's not like... It's, like...
3 hours is not obscene.
And there's two parents. Bryce is your only child.
Like, why are you having this much of a, well, he'll probably show up.
Like, okay, great. One of you stay at the house waiting for him to show up. One of you go and fucking get him.
Yeah.
It's not... I get so... This one makes me so unbelievably angry. Okay. So after Christian got him back on the interstate, Bryce called and talked to his parents multiple times throughout this drive. They were asking him, like, what landmarks are you passing? What do you see? Like, trying to gauge when he would be home. Mm-hmm. But Bryce really wasn't telling them. He was just like, I can't really see. It's dark out. I don't know where I'm at. I don't see any landmarks.
Okay.
So, the time is now 2 a.m. on August 30th. Bryce started this trip 27 hours ago.
Jesus.
He told Karen, it's 2 a.m., he told Karen that he is too tired to drive. He was going to pull over to the side of the road and sleep for a few hours before continuing home.
And she's like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, sounds reasonable. Also, like, you can stay up till 2 a.m. talking to him on the phone, but you can't go get him? Okay. At 8 a.m., his parents' doorbells rings. And it's not Bryce, as they had hoped. It was a California Highway Patrol officer.
Why would Bryce ring the doorbell?
I don't know. They asked if they owned a beige 2003 Toyota Highlander, which was the car that Bryce had been driving.
Of course it was.
The car had been found at 5:30 that morning, wrecked and abandoned on a road leading to Castaic Lake, which was 90 miles from his parents' house.
Okay.
The car had plummeted down a 25-foot embankment.
Holy shit.
Bryce's cell phone, laptop, wallet, and small traces of blood were found in the car. A duffel bag of his clothes was found outside of the car on the ground, which was unzipped and rummaged through. The car was on its side, and the back windshield was broken out from the inside, which most likely meant that Bryce had smashed that window to get out of the car.
Okay, so...
Like, after it wrecked, yeah.
So he, like, theoretically lived through the wreck.
Yeah. So they filed another missing persons report. So the road that the car was found on, which was leading to the lake, it was on a hill. And there was a surveillance camera, which took a picture of every single car's license plate on the way up.
Okay.
So Bryce,
I said okay way too many times this episode. I'm like, yes, all right. This
like,
is fine.
Yes, okay, what happened next? So at 2:15, which is literally minutes after he told his mom that he was stopping for the night, his car was captured there.
Mm-hmm.
Going up, and then at 4:29 a.m., it was captured again going up.
Oh.
So there's just kind of this weird 2-hour time frame where we have no idea what was happening.
Weird.
No other cars were in the area. Like, between that time, there was no other license plates that got captured on this camera. I mean, and this camera took a picture of every single license plate going up the hill.
Right.
Like, there was no way to get around it.
Was there another way down, though, besides going down the hill?
Well, see, that's the thing. If you're going down the hill, the camera doesn't take a picture.
Okay.
Which is why we don't know what happened in those 2 hours. We have no idea, like... If he went up the hill, was captured, went back down, did something else, and then went back up. If he was up the whole time, we have no idea. We just know that he was caught going up at 2:15 and caught going up at 4:29.
I hate that.
As the investigation began, they discovered pretty quickly that Bryce had intentionally driven the car off the embankment.
Yes, because Bryce was not okay.
Bryce was not fucking okay. He had accelerated off the embankment and continued accelerating the entire time until the car crashed. like I said, Bryce had driven up the hill at some point in time, came back down, went back up, drove through an area that had a cell phone tower. They were able to like follow tracks to there, turn around, and then went down the embankment. Though there was blood found inside the car, investigators didn't believe that Bryce was seriously injured. It looked like he had walked away from the crash.
Yeah.
There was no indication that he was, like, dragging, that he wasn't able to walk, nothing. It looks like he just fully walked away from it.
Okay.
A search party was formed, and they searched the area for 10 hours. Karen, finally able to drive, all of a sudden, now she can drive, brought some of Bryce's belongings up to the crash site, and search dogs found Bryce's scent heading into the water. Divers went into the lake, but there was no sign that Bryce had been in the water. Like, there was nothing.
Yeah.
The search dogs were then able to follow, they were able to follow Bryce's scent from the crash site down to the water, down the road, over a dam, into a truck stop where the scent was lost.
I remember this.
And that's it. That's where the scent ends. There was nothing else.
So he, like, got on a bus or got in a car or got on
or
a truck.
Or hitchhiked. It's a truck stop. I mean, people from all over are there. It's a truck stop off the interstate.
I hate this story because its ending is so unsatisfying.
So investigators questioned and interviewed everyone that was close to Bryce. And it became very clear to them that Bryce may have been suicidal.
What?
Yeah. But his family was like, I don't think so.
Fuck you, Karen.
Like,
this has become something else. Sorry. But fuck you for that.
Like, how are you going to sit there and tell me that you know for an absolute fact your son was not suicidal when two different people in a span of 2 days called to tell you that Bryce wasn't okay?
And
he was
like,
giving away
fine.
His personal belongings and breaking up with a person that he loved.
Yeah, but fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. So because of what the search dogs had found, investigators believed that Bryce may have simply just left. He just potentially just left and started a new life. There have been a few tips come in of people who have claimed to have seen Bryce from literally all around the world.
Really?
But none of them have been confirmed.
Shit.
So to this day, Bryce is still missing. His case is still active. The family is offering a $5,000 reward for any information that leads to Bryce being home safely. His DNA, dental records, and fingerprints have been entered into the missing persons database. So if anyone does find him, like, it's not going to be a Bobby Dunbar situation.
Right.
They're going to know if it's him or not, and that's how they're going to be able to confirm sightings.
Shit.
And then I'm just going to end with a little call to action that I got directly off of Medium.com. Bryce Laspisa has been missing since August 30th, 2013. At the time, he was 5'11 and weighed around 170 pounds with blue eyes and bright red hair, which he normally kept very short. He was last seen wearing a blue and white checkered shirt, a pair of white cargo shorts, and white Nike sneakers with red trim. He has a large tattoo on his right shoulder of a bull's head and his birthday in Roman numerals. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is still actively searching for Bryce's whereabouts. If you have any information, please call them at 323-890-5500. That's it. That's my story.
No more.
No more.
No.
No more.
No more of these unsatisfying cases.
I know. This is... I agree. Like, this one just makes me... angry. This one just makes me angry because
it's unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary. It could have ended so much different. Like, just get in your fucking car. If your child has been on the road, if it has taken them 27 hours to do a 6.5 hour drive, go fucking get them.
Right? Like, they're having a problem. You shouldn't be calling them every time. They should have been to your house at that point, being like, where are you? You still haven't made it? You're only 8 miles away in 7 hours? That's probably fine.
And if the two people who see him the most often is calling you and telling you that something is wrong, even if you just saw him 2 weeks ago and he was fine,
you should believe them.
They are standing in front of him, looking at him. You cannot see him. You are not there. You cannot feel what's going on. How can you tell them that they're wrong?
And also, parents do not know everything.
Parents
your
don't
friends
know everything.
See things that your parents don't see. You know, like, your kids' friends see things you don't.
Oh, one thing that I didn't add in there. I have no idea why I didn't add it. So when Bryce was at Kim's, Kim Sly's house, excuse me, and Karen wanted to talk to him, she was like, hey, why don't you go home and I'll fly down tomorrow and see you. And Bryce was like, no, don't do anything until I have a chance to talk to you about something. But we have no idea what that something was.
Wow.
Very cryptic. We have no idea what he wanted to tell her.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't like that.
Yeah. What an unnecessary story. I'm glad you all got to be there for it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Em ruined your night as much as she ruined mine.
I sure ruined my night with this one.
Good.
Ugh. Anyway, I'm sorry we immediately started with a rough one. You guys just know I love disappearance stories.
It's rough in the terms of, like, not knowing what happened. Like, it's just frustrating because at least with some other cold cases, you know, they have the, like, we're pretty sure this person did it, but, like,
or like where we're the pretty fuck sure this did is what Bryce happened. Go? He just fucking vanished. He just disappeared.
And that freaks me out a lot.
And I just, like, shit, man, I hope Kim and Sean are okay. They did everything right. They are, like, out of everyone in this story, those are the two that did everything fucking right.
True. I mean, I know we don't really hear about what Bryce's dad did or anything, but you also could have gotten in the car, buddy.
Yeah, you also, absolutely. I mean, I would say he probably did a lot more than Karen did. He actually filed a missing persons report, but, like, get in your car and go find your son.
Literally, he is your only child. He's not that far away, please.
He was 3 hours away. It took him 27 hours to drive 6.5 hours.
That's nuts. Anyway, thank you so much for ruining our night, Em.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This is my favorite disappearance story. Anyway, hopefully, if you guys, like, listen, if for some reason you know where Bryce is, call that number.
Let us know.
Let us know. Send us a DM. I will, like I said, we'll post pictures, and I will also post the phone number for, I mean, even if you're on vacation and you happen to see someone who kind of looks like Bryce,
a redhead with a bull tattoo, call.
Call. Just call. If someone you think may maybe be him, fucking call.
Couldn't hurt.
Where is Bryce? Someone has to know something.
Truly.
Someone has to know something.
And I think, was it Morbid that was like, I can't remember. I listened to a couple of cases about this, and they were like, maybe when he crashed the car, he just hit his head and forgot, and he just walked right up, like, and just moved on.
Definitely a very plausible theory. Like, if he was injured enough, because, like, we have no idea how injured he was. We only know that he was able to walk away.
True. But, like, we don't know if his brain was just, like, absolutely scrambled, and it already seemed like it pretty much was.
It was. I mean, something was wrong. Like, he had something, like, something was wrong. He needed help.
I agree.
Oh, anyway, thank you for letting me ruin your night. We will post pictures of Bryce on our Instagram.
At Under the Influence of True Crime.
We will post pictures on Facebook.
At Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can send us an email if you have any information.
At Under the Influence of True Crime at gmail.com.
You can also rate, review, and subscribe.
Anywhere you listen to your podcast.
Please do. It really, truly helps us out. And not only that, it just makes our day being able to read your guys' thoughts and opinions.
We do like that. Please leave more.
And you know what else they can do, Kate? Catch us right back here next week for some more spooky tales. Good night. Mama threw up.
I froze up.